So, hello everyone, this is Romola D. from Romola D. Reports, and I'm here today to report a very interesting story. This is Newsbreak 125. And this week, something very interesting happened at the U.S. Post Office in Milton, which is the town over from where I live in Quincy, Massachusetts, and literally down the street from where we are. So this post office is at East Milton Square in Milton. It's all the way up on Adams Street, which kind of runs through the whole of Quincy, at least this part of Quincy where I live, and, you know, also includes the big Adams Mansion, the historic John Quincy Adams and John Adams Mansion on Adams Street. So in any case, I was denied services at the Milton post office today. Not today, this week. On Tuesday afternoon, to be precise, in a rather disturbing confrontation with a couple of postal clerks, with one in particular, who was super rude to me, and whose intention apparently was to intimidate. Her intention apparently was to cut me down, not permit me to speak, not permit me to finish my sentences, not permit me to present any sign of resistance whatsoever to her bullying and her harassment and her intimidation, and refused to listen to my information on a medical exemption, refused to read the exemption card, which inevitably I was obliged to read to her. Actually, she asked me to read it to her. And then, you know, a woman who also raised the level of exchange between us from a normal courtesy, normal civility in public to something else altogether. Before we knew it, we were both, you know, yelling at each other because raised voices inevitably occur when one person has raised their voice and is refusing to listen. So that's what happened. And as a consequence of this exciting exchange, which I was completely unprepared for, I was denied services. In other words, told to leave and, you know, not served. So for supposedly the reason of not wearing a mask and an exemption on which she did not honor. Now, there are many reasons I don't wear a mask when I go about in public, as there are many reasons for other people who don't wear a mask. One of those is to be able to breathe freely. Two is to express your rights and freedoms as a free living human being on the planet who wasn't born with a mask over my face. And three, because I absolutely can't breathe. I do have a medical exemption because I can't breathe when there's something obstructing my breathing. End of story. So I am very aware of all of the legal ramifications of corporate structure, corporate statutes, maritime law, admiralty law, the state corporations, the federal corporation, which has gotten out of service currently, right, because it's gone bankrupt, but which still appears to be functioning, etc. I also have a claim of the life, and I have supposedly returned to the land. So statutes from corporations seeking to defraud people actually do not apply to me. But when I'm out in public and I'm speaking to people, I am very cognizant of the fact that most Americans have no clue about any of this and imagine that they are living in a very straightforward kind of situation where there is a government, a federal government, and then a state government, and both of these entities really care about you and have your best interests at heart, and there are elected officials in place whom people have elected, and these elected officials are really watching out for you, and so when they come out and make statements at podiums and pretend to be arbiters of public health, that they are indeed doing great things that are kind, benevolent, and meant to help the people along. But many other people, many educated people are very aware that nothing of the sort is going on, that there is a lot of fraud, a lot of deceit, and currently with this COVID nightmare that has, you know, descended over us like a cloud, there is an extreme amount of fraud, manipulation, and deceit going on. And part of that fraud and deceit has to do with the fact that nobody has proved that there is a SARS-CoV-2 virus. It has not been isolated and purified. 62 public health departments have been FOIA requested and have returned information saying there is no information on an isolate or a purification of this virus. There is no full genetic sequence of this virus. Secondly, people who are scientists and doctors and who have treated patients supposedly who have COVID have come out and stated en masse that it's very treatable and that there is a 99.9% recovery rate pretty much in all age groups, and there are vulnerable populations, as for all diseases, all respiratory illnesses, in among the very young and the very old. But for the rest of us, it's 99.97%. And the so-called COVID can be treated with the usual things that you would use for a flu, things like vitamin C and zinc, vitamin D, etc. As well as there's a lot of doctors talking about HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin. Right? So there are treatments for COVID. Now, this whole deceit that's been placed on the American people by the federal government, by the CDC, suggesting that nobody's going to survive without a vaccine, and then actually flooding the market with these gene-based vaccines, viral vector vaccines, which again, many doctors, many immunologists, such as Professor Dolores Cahill, Dr. Sucharit Bhakdi, Dr. Mike Leiden, have come forward to say are indeed very dangerous vaccines. They have not been properly tested. Well, first of all, it's experimental. The vaccines have been rolled out under an experimental use authorization from the FDA, which should never have done it, because based on whatever initial clinical trials had indeed been done, apparently, which Dr. Carrie Madej has spoken very openly about, saying the data from those trials is simply inconclusive, it's being read wrong, it's being, you know, there's too many premature conclusions being drawn from it. Safety and effectiveness has not been proved from those early clinical trials. That's a Pfizer and Moderna quote. And apparently all of the animals that were used in these trials died eventually. So, and of course, now we are seeing piling up in the VAERS database, the CDC database, the EUDRA Vigilance database, the Yellow Card Scheme in the UK, tons of people dying from these vaccines, getting blood clots, brain clots, brain blood clots, paralysis, strokes, full body vibrations and whatnot. And Dr. Bhakdi has come forward and stated that cerebral venous thrombosis, this notion of blood clots in the brain, could actually be to answer for the plethora of adverse reactions that is being witnessed, including the paralysis, the rashes all over the body, the sudden headaches, the extreme weakness, the fatigue, and so on. So, when doctors and immunologists who've studied these matters for years and years are asking for a halt of the vaccine, Children's Health Defense just published a petition last week, a citizen's petition. You can find it on the FDA website, and it's on my website as well. And they are asking people to submit comment very soon, asking for these EUAs to be revoked and the vaccine trials in children to be stopped. Because if adults are dying, is it not likely that children might also die from this experimental treatment that is having such strange reactions inside the body? So there are so many questions about this vaccine. And yet what has really happened is we've got public officials, public health officials, CDC officials, pushing the storyline that the vaccines are safe and effective and everybody in the world needs to get vaccinated because COVID is such a dreadful disease. Well, as far as we can tell, COVID can be cured, can be treated with other things. So, you know, there's huge issues about this vaccine. So then we've come to this issue of the mass. Because this storyline has been placed on people, has been projected, suggesting that a deadly disease is rampant, and people are carrying these viruses, you know, asymptomatically, which Dr. Bhakdi says, Dr. Yeadon says, absolutely cannot happen. If you are asymptomatic, you are pretty healthy. If you are sick, you are sick, and you will show some symptoms of being sick. If you are not sick, you are not going to show symptoms. So, I don't know how people have been brainwashed into believing this base, fraudulent lie that despite being asymptomatic, you have to wear a mask because you might be carrying this dreadful virus, which might shoot out when you speak and infect the person standing next to you. So you have to stand 6 feet away, and you have to wear this mask. Well, I've never bought into this storyline, as, you know, thousands of smart, educated, aware Americans also haven't bought into this storyline. We have, you know, exercised our critical thinking, we've looked into the research, we've come to our own conclusions, and we are not gagging ourselves. And this precisely is what I was doing when I went to the post office. I was not gagging myself. I did have a copy of this card. And when the woman at the counter started to yell her head off, I did show her the card and ask her to read it. She then asked me to read it out. I read it out. She didn't listen. More yelling. I finally realized this was going absolutely nowhere. She said the postmaster wasn't in, had to come back the next day. So I said, okay, and I was going to leave. And of course, you know, the other woman, the first clerk who had run and called this second clerk to deal with me, I could hear her in the background, "We're going to call the police." I said, "Oh, please do." As far as I could tell, the people who were in the right were not these two ladies. And in terms of law, in terms of rights, I was very certain I was in the right. So I left, and I'm going to pause over here and play this clip so people can see and hear exactly what transpired. And I have to, you know, give everyone a little warning. Yeah, I was yelling too. So, and I was pretty upset by the end of it all. So here goes.
Unless you wear a mask, we cannot service you.
Read that, please.
You can read that to me if you choose, but if you don't wear a mask, we cannot service you.
I see. Let me read this to you. This is a face mask exempt card. I'm exempt from any ordinance.
You cannot record
requiring me. Face mask usage in public. Wearing a face mask poses mental and or physical risk to me.
Oh, to you.
Department of
okay,
Justice.
Okay, well, ma'am, if you want to
ADA
service in here.
Violation. Reporting number 800-514-0301.
Is that ADA?
Under the ADA, I am not required to disclose my medical
well,
condition.
But then you have to take that
to
up with
you.
Your government, ma'am.
If found in violation of the ADA, you could be fined up to $92,383 for your first ADA violation
okay.
and $184,767 for
okay.
any subsequent violations.
Okay.
Okay. Secondly, the Inspector General of the Postal Service has issued an instruction to every post office in this country.
Well, we haven't gotten it yet.
Really?
Really.
It is online.
And without a mask,
you can look,
ma'am,
you can look online. I do not have the printout in front of me.
Well, the time it takes me to service you, we close at 5 and you will not get served. How about that? And do you know it's not likely for you to be recording me?
Did you
want to quote the law to me?
I can quote the law to you, ma'am.
Then you, do you know to quote the law that you cannot record me without my permission?
No, I am well within my rights to record all violations of the law.
And I understand
this is a
that,
violation.
But without my permission, you cannot take my picture, ma'am.
This is a violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Do you want to speak with the manager?
Yes, absolutely.
The manager will be here tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock.
You were sent to me by somebody else who was at the desk as if you were the manager. So you're not the manager?
No, I'm not. Manager is not here till 5 o'clock in the morning.
I see. Well, I'm not interested in speaking to the manager at this moment in time, but you can convey this information to him.
No, I'm not going
to
relay anything, ma'am, as long as you got that camera pointing at me.
The post office cannot deny services to anybody for not wearing a medical device, which is acknowledged by both the CDC and the FDA. The mask is a medical device. The mask is a medical device, which is purely voluntary, and nobody needs to wear it. Absolutely nobody in this country needs to wear a medical device, which is purely voluntary. Everybody is exempt from wearing a medical device, which is purely voluntary.
Do you do this every place you go?
I don't need to do this every place I go, ma'am.
So why are you picking this place?
I need to go to the post office. You happen to have a monopoly. Have you noticed the U.S. Post Office has a monopoly? Do you understand that you are not competitive?
And
what?
To your question. That was my answer.
What is your question?
No, your question was that we were monopoly, and I just said, and that's my answer.
Which is, it's not an answer.
In my language, it is an answer.
Well, hello, you're living on the same land as I am, and I can tell you what my rights are as an American, which you are trespassing on right now.
And
you're trespassing on everybody's human rights and civil rights.
And you're
rights.
Disrespecting me by recording me, right? So what about my rights? Hello, right goes both ways. Not when you choose for it to happen.
What?
Well, I got a customer
in
line.
Can
you
tell
step
me?
Aside
can,
if
no,
you want.
I cannot step aside.
Ma'am,
I'm here for service.
To serve you.
Can you tell me how courteous you are being by refusing to serve me? That's discourtesy, and it's also trampling on my rights.
You're being discourteous and trampling on my rights too.
Well,
you don't have my permission to record, so stop.
I'm not here to take your permission. I'm here to record violations of civil rights and human rights. Stop yourself. Do not speak to me.
Well, ma'am, until we are told differently...
By who?
Until we are...
Who
by
would you
the
need to be told
manager,
by?
By the government, by whoever...
By the general manager of the government.
Than
do
us,
you know... Yes.
It states that we are to service customers who wear a mask. If for religious reason or whatever reason you got that you don't want to wear a mask, then that's fine. That's your business.
That is
but
my
in
business.
Here,
correct.
If you want service... You needs to wear a mask.
Okay, is that your last word, ma'am?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to give you my last word, and I'm going to leave.
Is your name too?
Yes, please give me your name. Give me both your names. Who is the postmaster of this post office?
I don't know.
You just happen to be here as a temporary worker?
No, she don't want to wear one.
Ma'am, you made your point.
Ma'am.
I'm
not here to speak to you. Don't speak to me. Excuse me, I have one last thing to say because I'm going to leave. I am going to leave because you are denying me service.
Call the postal police.
You have no... Go ahead, call the police. You have no right to stop or deny me service.
And you had no right to record me.
But I'm going to give you my last
you
word.
You had no right to record. You know what, Miss Lady?
Let me repeat what I just told you. The Inspector General of the United States Postal Service has advised all postmasters and all post offices that they must not deny service to anybody without a mask because people have exemptions.
Do you got that in black and white?
It is online. I have told you where you can find it.
Show me.
Go to Everyday Concern.
No, until you show
don't
me, you
speak
need to
me like that, ma'am. It is online. You can find it online.
Okay, well, until
you
I
can
read
find
that,
it online. Okay,
until I read that,
you can find it online. You are in the wrong here, and you should know it. Please don't try to fob me off by telling me that because I don't have a printout to show you, I'm in the wrong. I'm in the
you
right.
You are in the wrong, ma'am.
I'm in the right. You are in the wrong, and I'm recording
okay,
this for the record.
Well,
you have a good day too. I'm not here not to make a point. I have made a point, and every one of you who is here for a reason wearing a mask, which is not needed because there is no pandemic, there is no deadly virus, there is only a massive psy operation going on, and you are all a part of it, those of you who choose to wear this mask. And you know it. You know it.
So, that was the very tumultuous end of the conversation, which seemed to end in sort of a shouting match. And these are just a few stills from the early parts of that video. Notice the paramilitary kind of tanks and trucks, pickup trucks, roaring outside as I exited. That's a picture of gas behind the clerk. Pictures that I pulled out later after I spoke to this person, later when I returned. So, I want to make another point here. Was I upset? Yes, you can hear it in my voice. I was certainly, most definitely, incredibly upset. You know, I was certainly discriminated against. I was certainly denied service. And, you know, I really felt like my voice had been smothered and held back by this lady at the counter who refused to let me speak, would not listen, and did not recognize the truth of the situation. So, yeah, it was very upsetting, and I was very upset, and I want to actually raise the question that possibly she did this deliberately, that this was a deliberate act of provocation, to deliberately invoke a reaction in somebody like me, you know, who is under very close surveillance and is being misframed and negatively framed all over the place in Quincy and Milton by the local quote-unquote authorities. So I do want to raise that question, because I had every provocation thrown at me that afternoon. So this is my website, and I have been pulling together all of the letters and posting them here, and I plan to post this video as well over here. So a lot of things have transpired as a consequence of what happened. Now, when I went home, I pretty much spent the entire evening, I stayed up till probably 1 or 2 that night, writing letters. I looked up to whom I should be addressing these letters. I tried to find, you know, the office of the Inspector General. Well, I went to Peggy Hall's site, because she has some great resources on her site, and she has a letter there which she has sent to U.S. Postmasters, and it has to do with the signage on the door, which requires people to wear a mask. But in actuality, as Peggy Hall has stated, and as is absolutely correct, there are no laws requiring anybody to wear a mask. A few governors and mayors have created ordinances or orders. Now, these are not accruing from the legislature. They are not laws that have passed through a lawmaking process, and they are not laws. They're all guidances, and everybody can exercise an exemption against these very wrongful laws that are based on a no pandemic situation, an unproven pandemic. So that's one thing. In any case, I found the Office of the Inspector General online. There is an email address that's given online, and so I sent an email. After I spent hours composing my letter, which basically points out everything that I have just spoken about, that nobody really needs to wear a mask, which is hazardous, dangerous to health. That's the other part of it. I may not have mentioned it just yet, but I mentioned it in my letter. There's enough information coming now. There's enough scientific information coming now, coming out now, telling us that the masks are dangerous. They stop people breathing in oxygen. They hold carbon dioxide in place. They hold viruses, bacteria, fungi in place in the upper respiratory areas, and they lead to reinfection. They're actually very non-healthy, and it's very shocking what's going on, people being asked to wear masks. So that's one part of it, and the other part of it is, if you have an exemption, you don't need to wear a mask. There is no law requiring you to wear a mask. And finally, there's another very key piece of information, and that comes from Peggy Hall. And, you know, I have posted it at my website earlier, and that's this letter from a customer experience specialist sent to Lawrence Fosberg. It's the Office of the Consumer Advocate and Customer Relations, and it very clearly spells out at the very end, it spells out two things, and this actually is what I want to actually emphasize. One, The postal service does not need to keep any of these ordinances. And this, excuse me, this indeed is what I was also told, eventually. But I'll come to that. But they are most definitely not asking their employees to enforce the local or state ordinance insofar as their customers are concerned. So this is spelled out in this letter. Therefore, if a customer chooses not to comply with the signage and the request and does not accept an offered face covering or mask, then the employee should go ahead and provide service to the customer, given the other social distancing measures that we have in place. So in other words, this letter and the Office of Consumer Advocate from the Office of the Inspector General of the U.S. Postal Service is charging all postal employees at all U.S. post offices to go ahead and serve customers who walk in without a mask, who refuse to wear a mask, and say no thank you when offered a mask. All of which I did. Walked in without a mask, had an exemption, or presented notice of an exemption. Stated I didn't need a mask when they offered me one. And nothing more. That's all I was doing. I did not even have my printouts, which I usually carry with me now every day as a kind of a, you know, barricade against this kind of behavior, this kind of idiotic confrontation that apparently one can expect in this day and age from highly uninformed people in stores and apparently also in post offices. So I didn't have my handouts. I just went in to get a money order and I could not do it. So, because I was kicked out. So, this is a very important letter, and I have posted it to you. So what transpired was, I wrote this very long letter. As people know, I can't seem to write short, sharp letters that are brisk and to the point. I have to sit down and write long letters to spell out my every thought, and I indeed did that. And it was titled, Bullying, Harassment, Antagonism, Raised Voices, Threats, Intimidation from Postal Clerks and Postmasters at U.S. Post Offices in Quincy and Milton, Massachusetts. Of course, I've had some other encounters in Quincy, and I have written about that earlier. I do have one video that I need to dig up and post. But yeah, I've had two encounters at the local Quincy Post Office in the North Quincy area at Wollaston. However, I must commend this Quincy postmaster because he and the postal clerks there did not deny me service. However, the Milton post office did. Milton is a rather interesting place, as people who know about Milton. Milton was the birthplace of George Bush Sr. and is a very wealthy little town. Probably one of the wealthiest. It's been named as one of the best places to live in various magazines. It's a beautiful town. Beautifully wooded. Lovely place. And normally the people in the post office are also very nice. But that wasn't the case on Tuesday. So in any case, here is my long letter, and I spell out what happened in Quincy, what happened in Milton, the entire story. And I kind of was super mad, so, you know, this is why I have lots of capitals in my letter. Looking back on it, I'm thinking I really shouldn't have bothered with the capitals. But, you know, I was in a state. I was truly in a state. And when I'm in a state, I get down to start writing immediately. And that's what I did. So one of the things I pointed out was, why is it that I am the one who has to educate and inform your postal clerks and your postmasters that a mask is a medical device? I spelled this out, by the way, for the lady behind the counter. This has been acknowledged by both the CDC and the FDA. You can go to the websites and you can read at both places. The mask is a medical device. The FDA website says it is purely voluntary, and in fact, it can only be voluntary. For the FDA or for any organization, any public health organization or corporation to state that it is required, they would have to do a personal health assessment on you to say that it's required for you. And obviously that cannot be done for everybody on the planet or everybody in America. So they cannot require it. The FDA, in fact, does not require it. The CDC uses the words considerations regarding mask wearing. Whatever Anthony Fauci gets up on a podium and says, in actuality, if you go to their website, the words used are consideration. They cannot demand that everybody wear a mask. They absolutely cannot. But they have, through lying media, and here's what it comes down to, through lying media, through the deceptions, the fraudulent deceptions, and the deliberate fraud and deceit being practiced by mainstream media, and that's television. That's those anchors at ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CBS, PBS, pushing and projecting this need for everybody to wear a mask. That's what has deceived people into imagining they all have to go around everywhere in the world wearing a mask. And secondly, it's been reinforced by store managers, by businesses, and by postmasters and postal clerks. And this, I think, is the crux of the fraud, which I uncovered through this experience. And I'll just go on and tell you exactly how that happened. So in any case, let me just finish reading. One of the main things that I put in caps over here, unfortunately, is a mask is a medical device. It's been acknowledged as such by both the CDC and the FDA. It's purely voluntary. There are no laws, state or federal, requiring the masking of one's face, the closing off of one's breath, or the gagging of one's mouth in public on the premises of any store or post office. So I asked, why am I the one who has to educate and inform everybody in the post office, which indeed I did. Now, I also took a huge chunk of Peggy Hall's letter and I stuck it in the middle of mine. You know, I adjusted it a little bit to go with the flow of my letter. But basically what she says is she's attaching her consumer advocate letter, and she's pointing out that there is no bill in Congress, no act, no law that demands mask wearing. And, you know, there's no real emergency ongoing, etc. And I threw in my own language in there. Postal clerks really shouldn't be bullying and harassing and intimidating people, demanding everybody wear a mask. And I really feel strongly about this. You know, the postal office is a place where people go inevitably to send cards, to send letters, to send money orders, to send checks, whatever, send packages, parcels, whatever. UPS exists, the FedEx exists, but the postal service is obviously unique. It, you know, literally enjoys a monopoly in America and in the world. Who else, you know, does this great service of carrying letters from one house to another across states and across counties? I think the postal service is a marvelous enterprise altogether, and I'm all for it. And I'm also all for the local post office, and I think it's usually a wonderful place where people congregate and have a little bit of, you know, daily conversation with the person behind the counter, whether it's the clerk or the postmaster. And it's all meant to be humane, human, cordial, civil, warm, courteous, etc. And it's a very, it stands out when it's not. So obviously this entire thing stood out. So in Peggy Hall's letter, she quotes the section of the federal law, Title 18 U.S.C. Section 242, which has to do with deprivation of rights and privileges. So I took that and stuck it in my letter. And I also included a section on the science and facts. And I pointed out something that I have spent a little time researching and that, you know, everybody knows about at this point. COVID is not a pandemic. It's a pandemic drill. It is a pandemic simulation. The WHO has been running it. It was preceded by Event 201 and, you know, preceded by what? Operation Lockstep, CLADEX, various other exercises and drills. And it involves a health agreement that all of the countries of the United Nations, almost 196 countries, agreed to carry out. They agreed to carry out the simulation and the drill because both the United Nations, the WHO, the Global Pandemic Monitoring Board, which is now a part of the WHO, and everybody who signed this International Health Agreement of 2005 are busy pulling off this huge fraud on people. Why? Because they're preparing for more and more pandemics. There have been a series of so-called pandemics already, as we know, with swine flu, Zika, etc. And now here's another one. And they're preparing for more. And they're preparing for this situation of existing in a state of pandemic to continue forever. And of course, we know that tied in with this is totalitarianism, fascism, communism, the takeover of the public commons, the takeover of people's individual rights and privileges, and all of that. And I covered some of this in Newsbreak 81 when I talked about, you know, these health agreements. And so I've cited that over there. I've cited some other articles in here. And I've also pointed out that the vaccines are dangerous, as the Children's Health Defense Petition states. And, okay, the other thing I did point out, which I think is important, and which I spoke about also to all the people whom I spoke to on the phone and by email, is that postal employees shouldn't be wearing these masks either. They shouldn't be wearing these masks all day, just as children should not be wearing these masks in schools. They're highly detrimental, they inhibit breathing, and they cause less oxygen to go to the brain, and they cause people to exist in a state of being unfocused, unable to concentrate, etc. They're really very bad for health from everything I can hear and read. So I threw that into my letter as well. So that's my long letter. And I, you know, threw in some requests and demands at the end of the letter. I was truly, you know, upset. And I said, you know, the post office really should not be doing this. And you should be issuing a notice to your employees. They shouldn't be harassing and bullying people who come in the door when they're not wearing a mask, etc. And you shouldn't be having misleading posters on your door as well, demanding that people wear masks, because they're not required by law. There are no laws, etc. This thing that I'm showing right now on the screen is the online complaint. Again, I spelled it out. The same thing that I have in my long letter. Basically, the story of what really transpired at the post office. And, so then what happened was I also found a consumer affairs office in Boston. I tried to fax this long letter to them with an email. With a cover letter. It just didn't go through. I figure the number was wrong. But in any case, I tried again, and I found online a phone number. So for a director of consumer affairs, I called and left a message. And later that morning, the director called me back. And I'm still thinking about it, but I may include the recording of part of his conversation with me, and with apologies to him, because he was exceptionally professional, courteous, and kind, and, very apologetic for the postal clerks. He said, "I apologize on their behalf. They should never have treated you in this fashion." And, we're not demanding masks for our customers. You are well within your rights to walk in there without a mask, to have an exemption, and they should have served you, and you should not have been denied services. So obviously this was like pouring oil on troubled waters over here. It was really good hearing from this person, George Kippenhans, and I thank him again profusely for his wonderful customer service and for doing the right thing, which is what I said in my phone call to him as well. So he said he had also spoken to the people at Milton, and he was hearing conflicting reports. Now, I wonder what kind of conflicting reports he heard from them. What did they say? That I was a troublemaker? That I came in yelling? I did not come in yelling. Somebody was yelling at me, and I had to raise my voice. That's what really happened. And, you know, it's all on record now, and people can hear it for themselves. I can't apologize for raising my voice, because they put me on edge. So I was unable to get my point across. I was unable to speak and be heard. So that's really one of the reasons I raised my voice. In any case, so moving beyond that, he also said to me that He was grateful that I had written to them and informed them about what had happened, because it gave them an insight into what was really happening at the level of the post office, and that he was glad that, that I had written and again apologized. So that was that. We also had a conversation about employees wearing masks, and I also told him that, you know, it was my, not presumption so much as my speculation, that it's partially because the postal employees have to wear masks, that they're doubly irate when they see people not wearing masks and start yelling at them. Plus, you know, they're kind of hampered and oxygen-deprived. They might be in a sort of a dizzy, oxygen-deprived trance state. So that's what I told him. And I think I put that in my letter as well.
Manager in Milton, she said that the two employees that were on the window that day were, in fact, off today. So he's going to try to get more information about what happened with them. But he knows, as well as I do, that you're well within your rights not to wear a mask in the post office. It's a federal mandate for us to wear masks.
Okay, the post office has mandated that employees wear masks, is that correct?
Employees have to wear masks because we're in a federal building, but customers do not have to.
Customers do not have to. I see. I did not know that employees were required to wear a mask either.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that's rather unfortunate because, as you know, as I spelled out in my letter, there's a lot of signs saying that the masks are really dangerous. And, in fact, there are OSHA information against the mask. So I would recommend, actually, that you guys as consumer affairs, you know, look into that because, you know, that's actually harder. These employees are sitting there 8 hours wearing that mask. It totally does cut off oxygen supply to the brain, you know. And, makes people kind of unfocused and dizzy. And who knows? Maybe that's what these two employees were in a state of. It was the end of the day, I think. It was around 4:30 when this happened.
Right. Well, all those mandates come from headquarters, which is well beyond my pay grade. I just, at the bottom of the line, and, they say something, then we enforce it at the local level. So.
Right. So, but it's very clear now to the Milton Post Office that people can walk in without masks. And, actually
yes.
Mention an exemption and not be served. It's not like I didn't speak up. It's not like I didn't hand out my exemption card, and it's not, and in fact, the woman behind the counter asked me to read it out, so I read it out to her, and at the end of it, she simply yelled at me.
The messages I'm getting from Milton, and now I'm just speaking with you, are just very conflicting, and it's upsetting that we treated a customer like this, you're well within your rights not to wear the mask.
Thank you very much, because, I have to tell you, I did record the whole thing, and as a journalist and writer, and as somebody who really is trying hard to inform the people here and trying hard to stand up for the rights and freedoms of all Americans, I feel it is my duty to inform the public about what just happened at Milton. And there's something else. So I did record, as I say, I did record some of this conversation, not all of it. As I started speaking to Anesh, she started yelling at me, I started to record. She started to yell at me, and therefore I was obliged to raise my voice. Now, when I went into the post office, I had no intention to have a confrontation, to be hostile. I didn't even have all of the printouts that I usually carry with me, as a courtesy notice to give to businesses. I just went in to get a money order, and I couldn't do it. Because of this situation and literally being denied service, and being yelled at.
Well, can I give you, I'm not well-versed about going on the record about these things, and I really, am not, but we do have a communications person who I could get you in contact with.
Okay.
Regarding this, who could probably give you a statement of some sort.
That would be wonderful, yes. If there is a statement from the post office you'd like to give me, I'll read it out on air, because I do live stream news breaks.
Yeah. His name's Steve Daugherty.
Okay.
Okay. Let me use email. And it is...
Feel free to send on the letter that I sent you to him and ask him to contact me, because I'd be happy to speak with him or receive an email from him.
All right, I will forward your message to him.
Great.
And I'll have him reach out.
Wonderful. Thank you. That will be great. Thank you. I really appreciate your reaching out to me and doing the right thing. So
yes,
thanks.
Ma'am.
Thank
no you. Problem. Glad I could help.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
In any case, later on during that day, I received a letter from the Wollaston Manager Postal Services, Robert Monroe, apologizing for the Postal Service and saying that he was sorry that I had experienced this horrendous treatment and that it, it would not happen again. And I forget what exactly the wording is, but it's right here. He apologizes. It sort of looks like a form letter, not a positive experience. Please be assured appropriate action has been taken. Accept our sincere apologies. So he didn't make mention of the mask scenario, but he sent me a nice letter. Okay. All right. Now, the next person who sent me a letter, again, was George Kippenhans, whom I spoke to. And he sent me the same form letter, but he added a couple of personal lines. It was nice speaking with you today. I apologize personally for the issue that you experienced. He also told me on the phone that the two employees who had yelled at me and denied me services would not be there that day. So, in fact, you know, the next day I actually returned to the post office. And I will speak about that in just a minute. So he wrote a nice letter, and I wrote back to him, and once again, I mentioned what I thought, that perhaps the post office employees should not be asking people to wear a mask. Because obviously when people walk in without a mask, they're well aware they're walking in without a mask, right? I'm perfectly aware I'm not wearing a mask when I walk into the store. So he suggested that he would ask a communication specialist to speak to me and to give me a statement to read on air. This communication specialist wrote to me an actually very interesting letter, because what he said was, I think, highly significant. So now he clearly had seen my second letter to George Kippenhans. Because I wrote my email to George Kippenhans after I'd been to the post office. And what transported the post office the second day was, it was empty. And same time, I went around the same time as I had gone the previous day, around 4 o'clock. And it was absolutely empty, except for one girl standing at the postal slot, I think, the stamp slot, with a backpack. And then I went up to the counter, and the lady behind the counter this time again said, "You have to wear a mask in here, and do you want a mask?" I was rather surprised that this happened, considering everything that had transpired. But I just stated, "No, thank you, I don't need a mask." And, you know, somebody else came bustling forward to offer me a mask. I said, "No, thank you." So then I said, "You know, can I speak to the postmaster?" She said, "He's not here." I said, "Is there anybody I can speak to? Is there a manager?" And she said, okay. And she ran off and called for someone. And then she said, "You know, the woman who was in here yesterday is back." So I was already gaining a reputation. So whatever, you know, I'm aware that this must have created a fracas at the post office as well, because it was indeed a big scene the day before. So she asked me to stand at the passport window, another window. I went and stood there. Now, I did record this conversation as well, although I hadn't even intended to, and I only partially recorded the person who spoke to me. But here is where it gets really interesting. So the person who came forward to speak to me was just called Dave. And, you know, he said he wasn't the manager, and he said he would give my handouts to the manager, which I handed him. So what I handed him was the courtesy notice for businesses, which has the laws of Massachusetts and the federal laws against discrimination, makes mention of the American Disability Act and the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and says that in places of public accommodation, everybody should be publicly accommodated, and nobody should be denied service or discriminated against on the basis of anything. So obviously those laws don't mention masks, but they say you can't be discriminated against. So I handed him that, the courtesy notice, and I also handed him the letter that Peggy Hall has, the letter that I just showed a minute ago, from the Office of the Consumer Advocate at the Office of the Inspector General, the U.S. Postal Service, spelling out that employees are not being asked to force customers to wear masks, and customers do not have to wear masks. Okay, so I handed those two out to him. Unfortunately, my printer had run out of ink, so it was barely legible. So I said, you know, you can find these online at my website. I gave him the name. And I also told him what had transpired. I said, you know, I was in here yesterday, treated very badly, spent some time calling people and writing emails, and I have now spoken to George Kippenhans, who assures me that this will not happen again, that I'm well within my rights to expect that I can walk into the post office without a mask and not be denied service. And, you know, I should have probably let him explain rather than me explain. However, at the end of it all, he said, excellent, as if I had passed an exam, and asked me to go ahead and, you know, stand in line and get my money order, which I had come in for the day before. So I did. So this was the next day when I returned in the afternoon, on Wednesday afternoon, and spoke to the manager. This was that conversation.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was in here yesterday and I was treated very badly by the postal clerks. Now that is a letter from the Office of the Consumer Advocate, USPS, which very clearly says the people who do not wear masks, who are exempt, as I am, should not be denied service. Okay? This is a courtesy notice to Massachusetts. I apologize, my printer wasn't working very well. You can find both of these notices at every...
Yeah, I definitely can't even read that, so... Okay. I'll give it to the manager, but... Yeah,
I received a letter from the manager this morning.
Okay.
I have been contacting a lot of people.
Yeah.
I have spoken to the Office of the Inspector General. I've spoken to...
I'm sorry, your glasses are crooked. It's just making me see weird. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, and you see my eyes.
Yeah, I know, but the glasses were crooked and it was messing with my head. I'm sorry.
All right. So I have spoken to the Office of Consumer Affairs in Boston.
Yeah.
George Kippenhans.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Something like that.
Yes, he was very nice to me.
Good.
And he assured me that what happened yesterday was an anomaly, an aberration, and should not have happened. He apologized profusely for the postal clerks who were very rude to me. And he said I should not be getting this kind of treatment from the Milton Post Office.
Very good.
And that I'm very much within my rights, my civil rights, to expect normal courtesy service.
Perfect.
Thank you. Okay. So that's why I'm here.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I will share this with the manager as well.
Wonderful. All and right. I'm here to get a money order. Can I?
Okay, sure. Go in line.
Okay, thank you.
Now, it's only later when I went home and I was trying to pull all this together for an article and I'm trying to pull it together also for this video that I found out that from my video, yikes, oh, I can't quite show it. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause here and I am going to re-record in just a minute. So, just to pick up from where I left off, I've switched cameras over here because I was being cyber-hacked and the camera was being completely blurred out, which, you know, made me look better, but nobody would hear a word I was saying probably, or, you know, connect it or see it properly. So in any case, I waited and waited and it didn't change. This computer is massively cyber-hacked, over-surveilled by lunatics, interfered with in every which way you can imagine. So, there's many things I can't do anything about, and often give up trying. But, just to go back to my article, I just want to show a couple things before I close this, because I know I've been speaking for quite a while. So here is the interesting thing. What I found out as I was looking through the video and just getting ready to pull it all together was that the person, Dave, who came and spoke to me the second day when I went back, sort of looked like the same guy who had kind of stood behind these clerks, and he'd been engaged in conversation with somebody behind, and then he took off. And, you know, no comment on that, except, you know, he's busy, he's at work, he's got things to do, whatever. But here's my point. My point is, it wasn't just these two clerks who were oblivious about how to treat customers and who were rude to me of their own volition and on their own. They were doing something that the entire post office was very well aware of and fully stood behind. That's the point I want to make. Everybody in the Milton post office was very aware of what was happening. As the yelling spree was going on at the counter, various of these others started congregating. And, you know, there was this, the first woman busy talking to them saying, "We're going to call the police," etc. So everybody knew there were lots of postal clerks working that day. And there was this guy, as you can see from this picture over here, he was right there behind the woman at the at the counter who was rude to me. Here's the woman who was rude to me, and here he is. And, you know, I've put more images in the video, and when I pull this together, it will become apparent. He was clearly trying to escape and run away from this public space and go back to his office or whatever, wherever. But he was right there. Now, if he is part of the management, as I was given to understand the next day, when the clerk on the next day called for him to come and speak to me, and as you can see, he's here, and you can compare the pictures and see if it indeed is the same guy. It kind of looks to me like the same guy. But even if it's not the same guy, you know, clearly it's somebody who's in the management of the post office over there. So my point is, the management of the Milton post office has made it a point to deny service to people who don't wear a mask, and has permitted their postal clerks to yell at the customers. That's my point. Now, that's pretty awful. And that's part of the fraud and the deceit that I was talking about earlier. It's part of the fraud and the deceit that's being pulled over on the people, on the American people, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our towns, by local governments. And who are these so-called local governments? You know, they're actually people. They're just petty officials. Charles Baker, the governor, is a petty official. He's a bureaucrat, just as the mayor of Milton is and the mayor of Quincy is. They're just petty officers who are trying to get away with massive fraud and deceit. And that's, you know, it's not unless people collude together and work together and conspire. Sadly, we have to come back to the word conspire. They are working in a collusive way with each other to deceive and defraud the people. So I am being deceived and defrauded, and everybody in that post office is being deceived and defrauded when we are told we have to wear masks to be at the post office, when there is nothing of the sort, no stricture of that sort. Okay? And here's what I want to do. I want to show the letter that Steve Doherty, the communication specialist, sent to me one more time. Because what he said to me essentially establishes a couple things. And that's what I said in my note back to him. And I'll leave that for people to read. I won't read it out over here. But here's what he said to me. He said two things. One was, the Postal Service encourages employees to follow the guidelines of the CDC. Okay, we know that. Secondly, and here are the two really important things, while state and local mandates regarding the wearing of masks and social distancing do not apply to the Postal Service. Now, this is really, really important, and this is what I started with. These local mandates, these state mandates, do not apply to the Postal Office. Postal Service, or the post offices. And you have to ask why. Why don't they apply to the post office? And I'll tell you why. It's because the Postal Service is a corporation. The U.S. Postal Service is a separate corporation. The state of Massachusetts, or the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, is a separate corporation. They're both separate corporations. And even the other letter from the Consumer Advocate talks about being a good corporate citizen. Now, the wording here, and here's the last point, the wording here, which Mr. Doherty has used with care, is, as a good corporate neighbor, we have chosen to voluntarily comply with these mandates and post signage asking customers to wear a mask wherever such local orders are in place. They're being a good corporate neighbor. They're a separate corporation. They're only seeking to be a corporate neighbor to the state of Massachusetts and to the Milton town and to the Quincy area, the Wollaston area. So Wollaston seems to cover both Quincy and Milton, from what I gather, but I could be wrong. But anyway, the important point here is the post office is choosing to voluntarily comply. Now, here is my point. If the post office chooses to voluntarily comply, that doesn't mean I have to choose to voluntarily comply, and it doesn't mean you have to choose to voluntarily comply. The post office is choosing to voluntarily comply. Secondly, they're doing it as a good corporate neighbor or a good corporate citizen. They themselves cannot be held to it, and these state and local mandates do not apply to them. They do not need, and here is the biggest point, they do not need to ask their own employees to wear masks all day and suffer through wearing masks all day, nor do they need to ask their employees to ask customers to wear masks as they come in and stand in line to be served. These are the most important points to take away from these communications from Mr. Steve Doherty over here to me, and earlier from Mr. C. Robinson to Lawrence Fastberg, the letter that Peggy Hall has posted. The U.S. Postal Service does not have to keep these state and local mandates, does not have to demand mask wearing for employees. One. And two, the U.S. Postal Service does not have to demand that people walking in wear the mask either. So this is super, super important to me, and so I've posted all these letters, I've posted PDFs of all these emails, and people are welcome to take them and use them in your local areas. I heard from Professor Tim Canova before I did this podcast that in Florida, in Hollywood, Florida, despite Governor Ron DeSantis's, you know, removing all of these mandates and so on, the local post office over there is requiring people to wear masks. So there is an issue over here. If the post offices, like some of the stores, are demanding unilaterally that people wear masks, it means that they are part of this massive fraud and deceit that I'm talking about. They're trying to pull one over on all of us. They are literally trying to defraud the American public, and they should be called on it. So this is one of the reasons why I've posted all of these documents over here. Feel free to use them. I thank very much again George Kippenhans, the Consumer Affairs in Boston director, who understood perfectly and clearly the facts and spoke to me and, you know, apologized for the lousy treatment I had received and informed me definitively that I'm well within my rights to expect that nobody asks me to wear a mask when I go into the post office and expect service rather than be denied service. There's one more point that I made to Steve Doherty, and I'll close with that, which is in my letter to him, and I posted that here too. In my letter to him, I pointed out that all through the winter at the Quincy Post Office, they've got a sign saying, only three in the lobby allowed. Okay? And the postal clerks kept it, and the postmaster kept it. Now, on the second time that I went there, in fact, when the postmaster yelled at me, he kept asking me to stand back. You know, he had cellophane between me and him. He had himself in a mask. He had the postal clerk he was standing beside in a mask. And yet he was demanding that I step back, as if I was carrying the black plague. And I pointed out to him he was, you know, playing an ego game here. It was just becoming an ego battle. And I think that's what's really happened. I think a lot of local despotism and petty bureaucracy has taken over people are just sort of unleashing their most petty selves in public as petty bureaucrats and starting to play policeman and policewoman in every arena, you know, in stores and post offices, etc. And you and I have got to nip it in the bud, you know. If you and I believe in American rights and freedoms, we stand up for our rights and freedoms and we say no. It is so important to say no. And I'm going to be speaking a lot more openly about this in future videos. It is so important for us to say no and to teach our children to say no. There are so many things to say no to today. And this is one of them. Say no if somebody seeks to trample on your rights and liberties, on your right to breathe unhampered, on your right to exercise your freedom of speech, exercise your freedom of expression, and exercise your liberty to use exemptions if you wish, medical exemptions, religious exemptions, in any scenario, whether it is to wear a mask or to take a vaccine. Because you know this is all tied up with this vaccine scenario. And the lunatics who are trying to push this on everybody are working hard to create totalitarianism under the guise of medical benevolence. This is not medical benevolence. It is absolute tyranny, and it has to be resisted and stopped. So the thing that I pointed out to Steve Daugherty to close this conversation is, I pointed out to him that I, like many others, had been forced to stand out in the extreme cold in the winter because the Quincy Post Office had this sign requiring only three in the lobby. So they would only let people in three at a time. So even if one person was standing and writing something at a desk, if another person was just, you know, there to pick up something from their post box, if somebody was at the counter, that was three people. And they kept to that rule, and they've been super stringent about it. Now, I have not been to the Quincy Post Office in the last couple months after the last yelling spree from the postmaster there. You know, the last rude confrontation over there. But I will go back. And I will see if indeed they are still maintaining this three persons in the lobby rule. But this is part of that social distancing rule, which I learn now the post office does not need to keep. They do not need to keep these local and state mandates on social distancing, 6 feet away, wear a mask, stand on your head and jump backwards, whatever. They don't need to keep any of this. Why are they doing it then? Why is the post office doing it? It doesn't make sense because it is hugely inconvenient, it is very rude to customers, and there is no proven pandemic. There is no pandemic. The Black Plague is not killing people in the streets. We are not going to die if there are six people in the lobby. The Quincy Post Office has got a snap out of it. And you know, the other thing is, postal employees who are suffering from this mask wearing need to snap out of it themselves. They need to read this article, they need to read these communications, take them to heart, and go and speak to their own superiors and make a demand that they are not forced to wear a mask and suffer through 8 hours a day wearing the mask and serving the public. To be in tip-top shape themselves, they should not be hampering their breathing. They should be permitting themselves to breathe in oxygen freely so that, you know, they can, their brains are functioning well. So anyway, that's my last word for today. I think that both the postal employees and everybody who uses the post office and benefits from the post office can learn a lot from my experience. And this is one of the reasons that I have taken the trouble and I continue to take the trouble to pull all of these recordings together, pull these documents together and publish them. And I'm doing it for the people of America and I'm doing it for the people of the world. We have to stand up for our rights because it's take an inch, take a mile is what is going on. People are stepping on our rights. People are taking our innate God-given rights and freedoms away and we have to speak up. We have to speak up for ourselves and for our children, for the next generation. And we have to speak up for each other. So on that note, I wish you all a very good evening and, you know, hope this is helpful. Leave your comments below. Thank you. Bye for now. Thank you.